Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul White. This is the podcast for August the 10th, 2017, and our continuing journey through Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We've arrived in Romans 11:24. If you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? If you ever needed a verse that helped you understand that this is a corporate language instead of an individual language, this is it. Because you are not taken out of a wild first man and grafted into a redeemed second man so that the second man can reform your first man. That goes absolutely against everything Paul just taught you in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Keep this verse in context. Remember, in Romans 6, Paul declared that you died, that you entered into Jesus' death and were raised into a new life. Paul has not separated the first Adam and the second Adam and then put them into the same vessel so that they can go to war with one another. They can have this big fight over who's going to win. Paul's language is new creation language. He cleans that up a little better in his reconciliation passage of 2 Corinthians 5. He tries a reconciliation passage in Romans 5, but he does better to his letter at Corinth when he talks about God reconciling the world back to himself by not counting their sins against them, and that ministry of reconciliation has been given to the church, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. Consider that in Romans 11:24, Paul uses the analogy that that believing Gentiles have been taken out of a wild tree and grafted into a cultivated tree. And that is perfectly sound when you consider that he's talking about the Gentile people who to Jews were always strangers and barbarians and aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, who now have been placed into this thing called Israel by faith in Christ. It works only in the corporate sense. It doesn't work in the individual sense, because in the individual sense, you are not merely a cut-off piece of your old self grafted into the corporate holy church so that the holy church can transform you into something good. That is promoted by some bodies of the church, some branches of the church, that they really feel that you need to get in there and get involved in the local church because the local church will transform you from a wild branch to a cultivated branch. But Paul says you're a new creation. You died. Your old man is dead. So you are not wild and hoping that the body of Christ can make you better. You are a new creation. You are part of who he is. He is part of who you are. In fact, Paul would say to the Colossian church that the mystery had been revealed to the Gentiles that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The Jewish believers, the remnant, saw the Holy Spirit alive and well in Gentiles and realized, wow, Christ really lives in us. And so this idea that we're taken from a wild tree and grafted into a cultivated tree is a corporate sense of understanding. And then the question is, the end of verse 24, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? And so Paul uses that illustration to say, if this be the case, if stranger, alien, unnatural, wild Gentiles have come into the family by being cultivated in or being placed into a cultivated tree, wouldn't Israel, who is the cultivated ones, who does have as their ancestor Abraham, wouldn't they be perfectly fine in coming back? And the answer, of course, is yes. This has been a mystery up until this moment, and Paul doesn't want them to be ignorant of it. Verse 25, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." And so Paul wants to clean up this cloud, this mysterious cloud that surrounds this topic, and doesn't want his Jewish brethren, his natural brethren according to the flesh, to be ignorant of that mystery. He wants them to know that the blindness that has happened is, in his opinion, is only temporary till the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now, that leads us to this idea that this verse is prophetic out in our future, that all of Israel is spiritually blinded until the day that God is done dealing with Gentiles, and then he will go back to dealing with Israel. However, the problem with that point of view is that Paul believed that the answer was already there in their day. You have to remember that Paul is the author of 2 Corinthians 3. And in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul gives this great argument that Israel has been blinded because of her infatuation with Moses and the ministry of death, and that if any of them would turn to Christ, the veil would be lifted. Paul doesn't say in 2 Corinthians 3, it's impossible for Israel to come to Christ because the Gentiles haven't been fulfilled. God's not done dealing with the church. Once he gets done dealing with the church, then Israel can come home. No, he is speaking to Jews in 2 Corinthians 3 saying, you're infatuated with Moses. There's a veil over your heart when you read Moses. If you would believe on Jesus, the veil would be lifted, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You would have the freedom and the liberty that you're looking for. I want to read that because I don't want to just quote it. I want you to see it or at least have access to it. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14, their minds were blinded. Until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And Paul doesn't say, well, Israel, it's okay. You can't turn until God's done dealing with Gentiles. You're not going to turn. In Romans 11, 25, he says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So what we need to do is make a determination. What does it mean till the fullness of the Gentiles has come in? And many have taken Romans 11, 25 as a prophetic verse out in our future to say that once God has brought all the Gentiles in that he's going to bring in, then he will unblind Israel and they will come back. And what this has done is led to a theology where God is dealing with the church in this age simply because Israel doesn't want him. And once he's done getting all he can get, he's going to get all of them he can get. Once he gets everyone he can get, then he's going to turn back to Israel and bring her back, that his first love. He's going to go get that first bride that he didn't get at Calvary. He's going to go get them back. That's one way of viewing this verse. Now, there's another way, and I think it's safer if you're going to make a determination about a scripture to make it based upon other scriptures and to make it based upon actual events, not conjecture or opinion. So I want to take you into another version of this, and I'll do that. It needs its own podcast because I've went, you know, almost 9 minutes today, and we have given you the alternate thought on this fullness of the Gentiles. I want to show you what I think the New Testament tells you is the time of the Gentiles and what history tells you might be the time of the Gentiles. We'll do that tomorrow on what is a fantastic journey, and I'm also going to give you tomorrow something to go watch, something that we've done elsewhere that might help you in a little side study on this very topic. Join us tomorrow for Romans 11:25, fullness of the Gentiles. I'll see you then. God bless.